702.
Call Refilwe on 011
883 0702.
Do call me on that line, on that number, and drop your voice notes on 072-702-1702 as we focus on healthy living. And today's focus, today's spotlight, is on World Contraception Awareness Day, a day that we are celebrating tomorrow. It's designated to bring a focus on the rights of individuals, on the rights of women to decide freely and responsibly on, you know, whether or not they want to have children, on how many children they want to have, on the spacing of that children. And of course, this initiative also ensures universal access to sexual and reproductive health care service, the whole gamut, including family planning, information and education, as well as integration of reproductive health into national strategies as well as programs. So much of this is really about giving women agency and control over their lives. So this morning, we're taking a look at the aims to improve awareness around contraceptive methods and perhaps any persisting challenges around contraception that we are experiencing or might be experiencing here in South Africa. For more on this, I'm joined by a cluster manager at Soul City Institute for Social Justice, Balesa Mogwane. Thank you so much for your time, Balesa Mogwane. Welcome to Weekend Breakfast.
Thank you. Good morning, Grafina. Thank you for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you here. And such an important day, World Contraception Awareness Day is. It sounds like a simple thing. It sounds like we're merely talking about the pill, as we call it colloquially, or the injection, as so many South African women go to the clinic to get every so often. But it really is about how your life, how a woman's life, how one's life will play out, how or whether a woman will be able to realize her potential and realize her agency as well in the workplace and so many other arenas. What does this day mean for you, Balesa, in your capacity as a cluster manager at Soul City Institute?
Okay, thanks. This day really means that you realize, obviously, the agency of a woman to actually have a choice in terms of their sexual and reproductive health and right in obviously choosing the option that they would like to use in terms of contraception, in terms of obviously their future ultimately, because these kind of choices or these kind of options that are even available are made possible in a way that a young person or even an older person, in terms of just obviously presenting any kind of unplanned pregnancies, because one other thing is it's important for people to plan. But at this particular point, it's just also even making a choice in terms of your reproductive health.
Yes.
Yes, because it actually entails a number of things, because are you healthy enough? It even has an economic aspect to it. Are you ready financially also to even obviously take care of thereof if you do have a child? But the nice and obviously the beautiful thing about our country is that you can actually make a choice of whether you do want to have a child or not.
Mm. So we know that the pill is amongst the most prescribed contraceptives in the world. Women primarily using it, describing it as, first of all, easy and convenient, and of course something that they have control over. So there's no negotiating whether or not you take the pill with your partner. You can do it in private. You can do it without them knowing. You can do it, it's all within your control for the most part. It's a discreet form of contraceptive. What is the kind of education that we need to start having in South Africa when it comes to reproductive health that will enable, first of all, women and younger women and girls in our context to make wise decisions regarding their body, regarding their future? And I'm saying this with knowing that we've been grappling with headlines just this year alone, looking at pregnancy figures of young girls, schoolgirls, and that, of course, throws up its own, you know, heavy, heavy baggage of what's happening in the lives of our children in South Africa.
I think the first thing we need to acknowledge, obviously, that the pandemic really like wreaked havoc in terms on, you know, like looking at pharmaceuticals. But the most important conversation that we need to be having is that there are options. And young people and people that really want to use contraceptives need to understand that there's actually more than one. We have about six of them in terms of what they can actually use. And my first acknowledgement was that there would be obviously issues of access in some instances.
Yeah.
But it's just for young people and other people to actually learn and read more. But also just know that you don't have to use the pill. And the pill, the filler, is not necessarily the most used. The injectable contraceptions are actually by far the most common method used by women. I think about 25% of women actually prefer the injectable contraceptions.
Okay.
Yeah, so the most important is also young people to access healthcare services. You know, it's free services that they can actually go to government hospitals and just read and get information from.
Yeah.
I know that the Department of Health, in partnership with a number of other entities, they have actually started initiatives looking at youth-friendly services. It's actually called the National Adolescent Friendly Clinics Initiative. So what happens there is that this is spaces that young people can actually go get information on just healthy living in general, but contraceptions in terms of the sexual and reproductive health and rights is there. Mm-hmm. That is enabling young people to go and actually just even wear the different options.
Mm.
Because obviously in understanding that for convenience sake, there are much more longer acting contraceptions that they can use, that they don't actually need to go there on a monthly basis to get a pill or maybe just to get the injectables.
Sure.
Some can actually stay as long as 3 months, some even more than that.
Yeah. These conversations, and I, you know, this initiative that is aimed at being a youth friendly, adolescent friendly, is a welcome one and an important one. Quite often, when we talk about reproductive health, and when we talk about, you know, when we're having this conversation, the urge is also to focus only on women and only on girls. Do you think, as a society, we need to start having these wider conversations with men, with young boys, with male youth as well? And I'm saying this because as we talk about reproductive rights and health in the South African context, you know, just across the way, across the pond in the US, you're seeing a rollback and a grabbing back of women's rights in this reproductive health arena, whether it's abortion rights, rights to access an abortion, and perhaps in some states in the US, contraception itself, right? So we're seeing a rolling back of people's rights. And quite often in that conversation, the framing is always a woman's right to choose. But of course, an unwanted or unplanned, not unwanted, an unplanned pregnancy doesn't just affect a woman. And of course, it takes two to tango. Are we having these conversations in a way that make sure and highlight the fact that this is everybody's responsibility? If you are going to engage in sexual activities, the outcome of those is definitely, obviously, will be borne by the woman. But of course, there's also the responsibility of the male partner involved.
Thank you, Srifila, for asking that. Because from a social point of view, and I think Soul City, through its number of dialogues, has been really having those discussions with young people. Because when you look at it, we always also encourage dual protection. And dual protection means that even if you've now opted on whatever choice of contraception to use, there's still also an option of using a condom. So in a case where you're in a relationship and the conversation is now about what options do we use? Do we use a female condom or do we use a female or male condom? And then obviously with the understanding that we both have a responsibility in protecting are right in the, in that reference. Mm-hmm. That's why then we would need to encourage young people in relationships to have, you know, discussions about issues of stealing, issues about rape, you know, that very thin line that a lot of people cross because they think some things are communicated, you know, the importance of consent. Mm-hmm. So it is actually so, like, multifaceted in that when you do have these choices or you make these choices, it has to be a conversation. But it has to be something that people get into the habit of doing. It's important to talk to each other, but it's important to also that you are both bearing the responsibility of the choices that are made thereof.
Mm.
So it's definitely not one-sided. However, in terms of then whether I choose as Balisa to then have a full pregnancy or then terminate, that becomes my, because then it affects my body. But then in terms of when we then have a conversation about, are we having a baby and are we having unprotected sex, then obviously those also then, you know, may fall to play in terms of then what then happens. Are you going to take the responsibility of going definitely for an HIV test so that we do not infect each other? But also, if you do know your status, are you going to disclose? So there's also those kind of dynamics that actually get into play. I did mention also that even the financial aspect gets into it. Are we ready, with, you know, financially to then raise a child? Are we then ready? Should we then not go and test mentally if we do find ourselves with a positive STI test?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, we're talking about World Contraception Day, which is being marked tomorrow on the 26th of September. But the 28th of September is also International Safe Abortion Day. Just, about 3 weeks ago, we had Gauteng health officials marching to raise awareness about unsafe backstreet abortions. You know, it's not strange. It's not a strange phenomenon for us to drive around the streets of Johannesburg and see posters for abortions or abortion pills, et cetera, et cetera. And you think to yourself, well, surely they don't need to be advertised and pasted onto light poles or, you know, street poles around the city. Surely we're accessing these things through government services and clinics and hospitals, or even, you know, private NGOs or organizations such as Mary Stopes, etc. But that's clearly not the case. These health officials that were marching were concerned about these posters that promote cheap, fast, and supposedly painless abortions. But of course, they're ultimately backstreet abortions and they're unsafe. What's going on in our context where women are, where first of all, there's a prevalence of this kind of advertising? Are women not privy to information or access to safe abortions in safe spaces?
It still goes with the taboo. This wildfire that we are dealing with is obviously where, in the case of, what is my mom going to say? I need to go, because also I'm not trusting that it will be a discreet option.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the conversations that people need to then understand is that if you are actually very safe going to a clinic or a clinic, a reputable health institution, because that is free and safe.
Mm.
So it's important for people to know that these literally backstreet abortions are very unsafe, and we don't even know what kind of products are being used. So in the options of if one wants to terminate and perhaps something goes wrong medically,
mm-hmm.
the records are stored when you go to a clinic or a hospital, where then they can check perhaps maybe you're allergic to something, and then they're able to obviously attend to that. But in a case where a person just goes around and pays R100 because they are able to do that, then that's another thing, because you don't even know what they gave you. Sometimes you don't even know whether you'll find that person again.
Yeah.
So it's very, very dangerous, and people just understand that this is just a money-making scheme that is actually out there to actually destroy their lives. Because there's also research being done where it's about people who have done backstreet abortions because of not knowing what substances, and obviously there isn't thorough check until it's very late, where people don't even know now, what are we treating?
Sure.
So it's important that society understands. We've had instances where we know that maybe our clinics are not efficient, this is not happening, but please can we trust in the system that these options that are available, that are posted all over, it's definitely a marketing spree to attract, but it's important to understand that you can just go to a local clinic. Obviously, if the clinic does not offer some kind of services like termination of pregnancy, there are bigger hospitals that they would refer you to. So you don't even have to now go queue at the hospital. When you go to a clinic, they would refer you to the nearest hospital that offers termination of pregnancy for free, Refile, free.
Mm.
So it's important that people understand it's not about hiding. It's about your health. It's about your safety.
Yeah. Absolutely. We're going to have to leave it right there, but thank you so much for your time this morning. Much appreciated.
Thank you so much, Rafila.